It is 10 a.m. on a Thursday morning here at ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. You know what that means. It is time for War Eagle Weekly with Bill Clark. And, of course, War Eagle Weekly brought to you by Coach and Forrest Steakhouse. Don't forget to settle up to that bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and beer for just $11.95 at Coach and Forrest Steakhouse every day before 6:30, and that is definitely a fantastic deal there. But, Bill, just kind of diving right into today's show, obviously yesterday being Christmas Day, I want to start with a little recruiting, and Santa Freeze is going into the recruiting and the transfer portal. He's getting some nice gifts for the Auburn Tigers.
War Eagle, and good morning, and happy holidays to everybody. Hope everybody had a safe and Merry Christmas. Yeah. Santa Freeze did a good job. We didn't end up with lumps of coal.
The
transfer portal was attacked, and Auburn came out, I think, on top of the transfer portal, considering what we got. I mean, we can go all the way back to when the transfer portal first opened. Auburn really went after, obviously, we had to go after a quarterback because our quarterback room, once we lost Peyton Thorne, who ended up not being quite as good as everybody expected him to be coming out of Michigan State.
Yeah.
So there was several pairs of big shoes to fill there in the quarterback room. And we knew we were going to lose some of the quarterbacks we had into the portal, which obviously happened. Walker White being the one I was really hoping would not go because he was highly recruited by Auburn, and he seemed to be a steadfast Auburn guy, but he entered the portal. So, I mean, we started off by looking at the quarterbacks that were available from day one. Malik Murphy was the first guy that was brought onto the campus. There was a lot of talk around him. And then, of course, we picked up Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma. A real, true dual-threat quarterback. He has wheels, and he can throw the ball. And he was a five-star recruit out of high school. So, I really think we made a good pickup there, and he's got 2 years of eligibility. That's another good thing. We almost lost one of our best recruits, Amaris Williams, edge. He's a freshman edge guy. And I talked a little bit about this last week. I'm not sure if he was just floating a trial balloon to see what –
testing the waters.
See if the grass maybe was a little greener on another field. He was in the transfer portal for less than a whole day and recommitted to Auburn. So that's almost like, to me, that's a game. I mean, because if you don't enter a transfer portal unless you intend to look at something.
Right, yeah.
So we regained something that we already had. To me, the big story out of the portal, other than picking up Jackson Arnold, was offensive line. We really needed to improve on the offensive line. We picked up two fantastic offensive lines. We got the number one offensive lineman in the portal from Virginia Tech, Xavier Chaplin, a huge kid. Obviously, coming from Virginia Tech, he's well-coached. He's already played in a Power 5 conference, so this should just be a matter of putting on a different color uniform, getting used to a different scheme, and executing. And then we also picked up Southern Cal tackle Mason Murphy. He's the one that graded out real good for pass blocking. And, of course, I mean, you bring in a quarterback like Jackson Arnold, you really want to stack your offensive line with pass blockers. I mean, because if he can pass block, he obviously is going to be able to run block as well, especially since most of your offensive performance is going to be RPO. So everybody's going to be essentially pass blocking anyway, even if it's a run play. We also picked up a quarterback out of Stanford, Ashton Daniels. Obviously, he's probably comfortable with the idea of being the number two. Coming in when needed. He's, even though he's transferring in from Stanford, he's originally a kid from Georgia, so this is kind of a coming home, too. He may be a little bit of homesickness. But, man, I'm excited about this transfer portal pickups that we've gotten. I mean, it was Christmas. It was a week-long early Christmas. Unfortunately, like I said, we lost Walker White. I think he went to Iowa. But we did add some more defense. We added a linebacker, Xavier Atkins from LSU. So another SEC guy with some playing time. The big thing was we grabbed a safety out of Georgia Tech, Tay Seymour, and we picked him up a week ago. And not only did we not lose or not gain anything by picking up Tay, we weren't really in a bad spot safety-wise, but we needed some leadership because all of our defensive backfield is young. Most of them were freshmen last year. This guy brings in some leadership because he's already played, obviously, at a big-time program, Georgia Tech. The big plus is his roommate was the number one receiver in the portal, Eric Singleton. So I think it was Auburn was looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, let's build up our defensive backs, bring in some leadership, who just so happens to be the roommate of the number one wide receiver. And, you know, we just lost KLS because he was a one-year guy at Auburn and a fantastic receiver. So, I mean, now we're bringing in this – he had a fantastic game against Georgia. And you remember Georgia Tech took Georgia to multiple
overtimes.
A lot of it was because of this kid. He's rangy. He's a ball hawk. If you put it in a position where he can get it, he's going to get it. And he's fast. So I think we've built up our receiver room now. We've got Cam Coleman, obviously, was a standout freshman this past year. We still have Malcolm Simmons. We're going to replace KLS with Eric Singleton. We brought in a tight end from Maryland, Preston Howard. So now we've got that guy that can fill the tight end slot on the blocking scheme, and he's also a proven receiver, so he can fill in the slot position. Which obviously enhances the room. Plus, we picked up a running back. Jarquez Hunter is going to the pros. We picked up UConn's running back transfer, Darrell Robinson. UConn's offense this past year, I didn't know that much about it until I started checking in on this running back. Their offense was geared mainly to the ground game.
Okay.
And he was the main reason. He was their guy that they went to. And I don't know if this year is going to be a rebuilding year for their program. Maybe they lost a bunch of offensive linemen or something that prompted him to enter the portal. But I'm glad he entered. I'm glad we picked him up. We still have Cobb, and we still have young running backs, and we also have a four-star running back that committed to Auburn, so he'll be coming in as a true freshman. I look for them to most likely redshirt him, give him that extra year of eligibility, utilize what we got in the portal, utilize what we already have that has some playing time, and make him the number four guy in the running back room. But the big thing is picking up those offensive linemen, two big tackles that have pass blocking experience in the Big Five power conferences. They're going to come in and they're going to contribute, obviously, day one. Jackson Arnold, as long as he stays healthy and lives up to that potential that he exhibited becoming a five-star recruit. I think you and I talked about it before we went on air. High expectations lead to high performance or big disappointments.
They do,
I'm looking forward to big performances coming out of these guys. I'm tired of the disappointments from like this last couple of years.
And I will say, from looking at the recruiting class for Auburn, which by the way is currently, according to 24/7, the number six recruiting class in the entire country. They actually have the number four transfer portal class in the entire country with all the players they're bringing in. You look at what Hugh Freeze is bringing in through the recruiting class and also the transfer portal. He is building a team that looks a very, very similar, on paper at least, to those teams he had a lot of success with Ole Miss, and even the success he had at Liberty after Ole Miss. Very much, especially you mentioned Jackson Arnold, bringing him in. It's a guy who now has SEC experience, playing a year in the SEC with Oklahoma. But a guy, like you said, is a true dual threat quarterback, is a guy that's going to burn you with his arms or his legs. And it's really going to create a situation where the defense is going to have to stay honest and just play man. And that's exactly what Hugh Freeze wants them to do.
Well, I mean, you look at what Jackson Arnold did this past year at Oklahoma. He did get benched because he threw a bunch of interceptions early, which is the same thing that happened to Peyton
right.
with us earlier this year. So they put him on the bench. They brought him back in. And unfortunately for Oklahoma, their receiver corps just got decimated with injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time they got to their last couple of games, their punter, their at the beginning of the year, the guy who was only their punter became a receiver so that they could at least have enough people to put out there on the field as a receiver. So and they were still able to win games. So he has so much upside. His floor is higher than some people's ceiling. So I'm looking forward to him staying healthy. I think he'll thrive in Hugh Freeze's offense.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
With the primarily an RPO, so you're going to take advantage of his dual threat ability. And bringing in the number one receiver out of Georgia Tech to fill in the void from KLS, there's just so much upside to this.
And to the point you made about Jackson Arnold getting benched because of the interceptions, I mean, we've seen it time and time again, and I'll use Graham Mertz as an example of this. You struggle at one school, but especially when you go to another school whose head coach is an offensive-minded guy who's used to being, quote-unquote, a quarterback guru – it tends to provide you a little bit more confidence. And we saw that with Graham Mertz leaving Wisconsin, where he struggled a lot, went to Florida under Billy Napier. Billy Napier kind of reinstalled that confidence, and Graham Mertz was able to really help that football program along, especially with the, you know, kind of building it up to eventually DJ Lagway taking over. I definitely can see a similar thing happening here with Jackson Arnold. He's going to get under Hugh Freeze. I think Hugh Freeze is going to be able to give him that confidence back. He's going to have that swagger back heading into the season, but also Eric Singleton Jr. there, when you got a guy like that you can throw to, that's going to make it a little bit more comfortable for you going into a new offense.
Absolutely. And being benched shouldn't be that big of a deal anymore, because even Jalen Milroe got benched.
That's true, yeah.
You know, so being benched is a way for the coach to fix a problem immediately, remotivate the person who's going to be your number one, get them back on track, bring them back on the field, and let them excel. So – I don't see his being benched as a negative so much as his upside just being so huge.
And we even see that with the being benched at the NFL level. I mean, you look at Anthony Richardson this year. He has the tap-out game, comes out on a play. They bench him for, like, what, the next 3 weeks, let Joe Flacco take over, and then bring him back. It is a great way to kind of readjust, correct course, or maybe kind of teach a little bit of a lesson if you need to. But, yeah, really, overall, this recruiting class, and especially in the transfer portal, Hugh Freeze doing a great job at Auburn.
Yep, Merry Christmas to Auburn.
There you go. I tell you what, let's take our first time out of the show. When we come back, more War Eagle Weekly right after this.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four, Pine Forest Road, across the street from the Speedway.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EXIT25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EXIT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EXIT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
NFL football on ESPN Pensacola. Saturday, it's an NFL triple header at 11:30 a.m. First, the 9-6 LA Chargers tangle with the New England Patriots, followed by the clash of the 9-6 Denver Broncos versus the 7-8 Cincinnati Bengals. And finally, the 7-8 Arizona Cardinals take on the 9-6 LA Rams. Catch every pass, every play right here. ESPN Pensacola.
The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass, 9 to 10, right before Greeny on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Welcome back in to War Eagle Weekly. It is, of course, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. Saddle up to the bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. And, of course, as we are every episode of War Eagle Weekly, joined by Bill Clark. And Bill, we were talking a little recruiting before in the first segment. Let's switch gears now because, I mean, with the recruiting going well for football, it's a fun time on the campus there at Auburn because football recruiting going well, but basketball might be even better right now. Bruce Pearl has this team playing really good. They're the number two team in the country, but there is an argument there that could be made to why they should be the number one team.
Absolutely. I feel strongly that they should be number one. We've got arguably the number one guy in NCAA basketball. He was injured last week, only did 2 minutes on the floor and scored 2 points, and it was questionable whether he was going to play in this last game. It was kind of a game-time decision. Evidently, the injury wasn't quite as bad as everybody thought it might be. He jumped right back in the back on the court and performed just like he had never left. He had another double-double. He played for 29 minutes, scored 23 points, had 11 rebounds, 2 assists. I think he had 2 blocks and 1 steal. And he was responsible for feeding the ball for 2 alley-oops that I remember between him and Cardwell. He may have assisted with another one. But those, I'm sure that accounts for his 2 assists. But man, what a basketball program Bruce Pearl has put together at Auburn. Auburn is now a basketball school.
They are, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Not quite a blue blood, I mean, because we don't have the lineage to go with it. But, you know, I'm just looking at the last games. You know, we lost at Duke. We scored 78 points. We lost 84 to 78. Since then, we've scored 98, 91, 187.
Yeah.
Wow. And held the opponents to 54, 53, 59, and 69. So, I mean, we're literally outscoring everybody about almost 2-1.
And two of those four games you were just talking about against Blue Bloods in Ohio State and Purdue. So it's not like it's smaller schools they're walking over. It's the big boys.
Yep. We beat number 21 Purdue. Obviously, the question mark as to whether or not Johnny was going to start kind of closed the line on the game. I think the line at the beginning of the game was somewhere around 11 or 12. I mean, we end up with a 87 to 69 victory, and it really wasn't that close.
Yeah.
It was close during the first half all the way through, I think, about the 10-minute mark, and then Auburn went on like an 11-0 run and just never looked back.
Wow. Yeah.
And the last 3 minutes of that ball game, we had the walk-ons out there to give them some love. And that's that's one of the things I love about Bruce Pearl. When the game's well under control like that, he's not afraid to put the walk-ons out there and let them get some exposure, especially in the in a marquee game like against a 21-ranked Purdue. But I mean, it's so much fun now. Like you say, we have so much success in National Signing Day. We have so much success in the transfer portal. We have a number two basketball team, arguably number one. That will be settled by the end of January.
That's right, yeah.
Because Auburn is going to play Tennessee on January the 25th at Auburn. So it'll be a 1-2 matchup as long as Auburn doesn't run into some kind of stumbling block between then and now. But let's talk about the performance that Auburn had against Purdue.
Yeah.
I mean, we had we essentially had – 8 people rotating on the court most of the game. The playing time was pretty well divided. Most of them had in the 20-minute mark, but there's 9 players that had double-digit minutes on the floor. Janiah Broome obviously had his – every time he goes on the court and plays a complete game, he ends up with a double-double. Dylan Cardwell, it's just hard to say anything bad about Cardwell. He's a graduate guy. He's been at Auburn his whole basketball, NCAA basketball career. He's just the team player. He's the cheerleader. You see him cheer in front of the students, waving his arms, getting everybody psyched up. If it's something big that he does, or if it's something big that one of his teammates does, he is the loudest cheerleader on the court. It's just we're going to miss him when he's gone. Denver Jones has stepped up and stepped his game up this year over last year. Chad Baker-Mazzara came back from last year, and he is just amazing. I mean, Austin and I had talked about this last week. Auburn legitimately could field 2 starting 5-man teams out of the top 10 players.
They really could, because I'm sitting here not to cut you off, but I'm looking here off the bench. Pettiford coming in, 18 points off the bench. Yeah,
yeah. Tahad Pettiford has been a blessing. Ja'Kai Howard, a transfer, he has been a blessing too. Chaney Johnson, Chris Moore is a senior, and he's been at Auburn for a long time. He's the big defensive guy. He's not the guy you look to score points, but he's the guy you look to block, and he's the guy you look to set up screens and open lanes for other guys. And he's also, when he's underneath the basket, he's capable of making rebounds. It's so amazing to watch these guys play. And they're so well coached. They're unselfish. They pass the ball a lot. Pressure. The big thing is between previous Auburn basketball teams and this year is the defense that these guys play. They're super aggressive.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that we talked about last week was that it does get them into foul trouble quite early for some of the big guys. But that's you don't want to coach out the aggression because of the foul trouble. You just try to coach in a cleaner game, but keep the defensive aggression. And that's what won this game. They were so aggressive on defense that they took away the high percentage shots for Purdue. Purdue ended up turning the ball over. I'm pretty sure it was twice, maybe three times by the shot clock running out. That's just solid defense. And Auburn plays pretty much a man defense. So you've got the same one-on-one matchups on the floor the whole time. And as long as you get the right matchups, it's so awesome watching them make these guys have to shoot low percentage shots just to get a shot at the basket. There's just not much more you can say about it. I'm just looking forward to the rest of this season. And Auburn is we've got a pretty tough road ahead of us because we're about to get into SEC league play, and the conference has a lot of ranked basketball teams. Obviously, the ones that are perennial ranked teams, Tennessee's, Alabama's, Florida's always had some pretty good basketball teams, kind of off and on, but for the most part, Florida fields a good basketball team. Arkansas is always a good team. Of course, you gotta throw Kentucky in there. Kentucky was always a basketball school more than a football school. But I mean, as soon as we get into league play, we play Missouri, Texas, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Georgia, and Tennessee, all in the month of January. Two of them are ranked teams. Mississippi State is ranked 19th, and obviously Tennessee's ranked number one. So I'm really looking forward to that January 25th matchup, putting Auburn against Tennessee.
That is going to be a fun
one. That one is not going to be a runaway in either direction. That's going to be a tight game. It's going to resemble that Duke game we had last month. But it's going to be a fun time watching Auburn play in the league, and hopefully outright win the regular season SEC championship, and then of course you go to the tournament. But I'm just looking forward to it.
And it's going to be a great season inside the SEC. And by the way, you are listening to War Eagle Weekly right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, brought to you by Coach and Forrest Steakhouse. Find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. Bill, I want to ask, because you did mention this, the strength of the SEC and how many ranked teams and how good of a conference it is this year. And it's something that we talked about on the glass half full before, kind of almost this SEC renaissance we're seeing in men's college basketball this year. I want to ask your opinion with the coaches that we have in the league and the talent that's being brought into the league. Do you think that maybe this is this a fluke where it's just maybe the ACC Big Ten might be having a down year, so that's pushing the SEC a little bit forward? Or do you think that the SEC's, especially men's basketball, it's going to have some staying power to it, and they're starting to get a little bit better and take that next step as far as being a blue blood conference when it comes to basketball?
Oh, I think the conference as a whole is getting better. A lot of it has to do with the coaches. You got Oates at Alabama. I don't know what the coach's name is at Florida,
but Todd Golden. Yep.
But he's filling in some big shoes, and he's doing well.
Yep.
Got the number six team in the country. Mississippi State is ranked. Oklahoma's ranked. Alabama's ranked number five. It's quality throughout the league, and it's when you bring in those type of coaches, they're able to recruit. Whereas before, you couldn't hold on to the big time recruits because they all wanted to go to Wake Forest or Duke or Creighton or North Carolina and
those Big Ten East schools.
They wanted to go to those schools that you saw them in the bracket every year, and they were always ranked one, two, or three seed in every bracket they were in every year. So the ability now to go after those players but bring them into the conference and bring them into a program that now can compete at that same level, That's been a big game changer for the conference. And you kind of saw it starting to happen in the early 2000s. Florida won two national titles in basketball.
06 and 07.
Yeah. And then you saw Alabama and Arkansas. Arkansas won a national title. So you started to see the sea change then. And it didn't happen overnight. Obviously, it's been a gradual thing. And then, of course, Bruce Pearl went to Tennessee. And Tennessee was always a good basketball school, but he resurrected their basketball program. And then he came to Auburn, and he completely changed our basketball program. You know, Auburn had, back when I was in school in the 80s, you know, we had Charles Barkley and Chuck Persons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had some players, and we had good teams, but it was only for a year or two. And then it was back to pedestrian basketball.
It wasn't a consistent program year in, year out.
Yeah. Bruce Pearl has completely remolded that basketball program at Auburn into something that now we can compete every year at a very high level. Obviously, it's been successful because we went to the Final Four in 2019. The year of COVID, we were ranked and looked like we were on our way going back to the top of the league. And then, of course, COVID just killed everything. So everybody had to take a step back and kind of regroup after COVID. And Auburn doesn't seem to have missed a beat. Once we got everything back to a normalcy and Auburn basketball and, well, basketball, NCAA basketball in general, got its feet back under it, Auburn was still – I mean, we made it to the tournament last year. Yale put a little whooping on us that we didn't see coming early in the bracket. But this year, I think this is the best I've seen. Like I said, we have two five-man starting basketball teams. We have one that we do start and one that's sitting on the bench.
Right.
And we can rotate them in and out, and they all play the same way. They play for each other. They play as a team. They're very aggressive defensively, which I love. That's not something that you would normally see. That's a Bruce Pearl thing. That's one of the things he's noted for is the way he coaches defense. And we've got shooters. We've got guys, like you say, Pegues and Pettiford. You know, when they pull up and they see somebody back off from them and they're at the three-point line, they're not afraid to take the shot because they know they can make it. Most of the time. And, of course, we have Chad Baker-Mazzara, who's almost 100% in free throws.
That's always helpful, yeah.
That's huge because you want him to have the ball on the offensive side of the court in hopes that somebody fouls him and puts him on the line because he's almost guaranteed to make every free throw. He's up there. Janai Broome's pretty good. His free throw percentage has improved over last year.
Well, it is definitely going to be fun to watch once they get into SEC play. One more non-SEC game on December 30th against Monmouth before they hit SEC play against Missouri on January 4th. Keep an eye on the Auburn Tigers. If you're just a casual college basketball fan, watch the Auburn Tigers and really the entire conference of the SEC. That's going to be some must-watch basketball for sure. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll switch gears. We'll talk a little college football playoffs coming up next right here on War Eagle Weekly.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Ford Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Ford Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
My family and I finally found the perfect apartment to rent.
My school is right down the block.
Can we go to the park anytime we want?
Yes, sweetie.
Then, after we were turned down, how was I going to explain? The landlord doesn't want families with kids in his building.
So we made a call to HUD and found out that's illegal.
If you think you've been discriminated against, call HUD at 1-800-669-9777 or go to hud.gov/fairhousing.
Fair housing is your right. Use it.
A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. Weekdays 9 to 10 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, 1037 on a Thursday morning, which means it is War Eagle Weekly, brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flag Speedway. Saddle up to the bar, get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day at before 6:30. Definitely want to take advantage of that fantastic offer. Again, find Coach and Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across there from Five Flag Speedway. And, of course, like I said, this is War Eagle Weekly. You can be a part of the show. Text or call 850-623-1330. If you want to talk a little Auburn football, or we're going to change gears now, Auburn basketball, and now college football playoff. I mean, obviously, we've had some games already. The first round's been played. Some games that were a little underwhelming, I think is the correct term to use for that. Clemson Texans seeming to be the best game from the round one. It was a 38-24 win there for Texas. Ohio State just demolishing Tennessee 42-17. Penn State 38-10 win over SMU. And Notre Dame advancing to face Georgia with their 27-17 win over Indiana.
Yeah, I made some upset predictions for the first round that obviously didn't come to fruition. I actually saw Tennessee giving Ohio State a better game. I actually predicted Tennessee to win the game. That was not the Tennessee that I remember seeing during the regular season. I think they were a little overwhelmed from the beginning. Then they got back on their heels and they just never recovered. I tried to watch as much of that game as I could. It was pretty difficult to watch because you had a reasonable expectation of what Tennessee was going to bring, and they didn't bring it.
Yeah,
and that's not taking anything away from Ohio State. Ohio State said, "You're in our house. We're gonna bring our A game," and they did. Especially defensively. They really brought it to Tennessee.
And I will say, for your prediction for Tennessee to win, I honestly was kind of right there with you on that. I thought it was going to be a closer game than what it was. Look at Ohio State's offensive line and how they struggled against that Tennessee front seven. But I think the big key factor in this game was Tennessee all year long. His slow starts have been an issue for them against Florida, against Alabama, against several other teams. They just got down 21-0 here, and there was no way of climbing out like they had with great second halves in the regular season. Just couldn't do it here.
Yeah, the first 10, 12 minutes in the first half, they're down two scores. They're on their heels, and they just never got their legs up under them until late in the game, and then it was too late. But Ohio State, the Ohio State that played Tennessee was not the same Ohio State team that played Michigan. That's kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking, okay, Tennessee's going to go in there. They're ramped up. They want to prove to everybody we deserve to be in the college football playoff. And Ohio State, I thought maybe the same team that played Michigan might show up. And it was polar opposites. Ohio State brought their A game, especially defensively, shut down Tennessee, put them behind early, and kept them there. It is what it is. The other games were fun to watch too. I had actually predicted Notre Dame to lose, but Notre Dame brought their A game. They looked good.
They did, and I think, you know, you look at all of the winners from this past weekend, it really does set up from a couple of weekends ago, it really does set up some great quarterfinal matchups that we'll have New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Obviously, Notre Dame, Georgia being one of those, Penn State, Boise State, that's definitely going to be a lot of fun. That Penn State front seven going against Ashton Jeanty and the Boise State offense. Ohio State, Oregon for the second time. If Ohio State would have beaten Michigan, it would have been the third time that these teams would be facing off. And then, of course, Texas and Arizona State. I have a suspicion Texas, Arizona State, that's going to be a little bit more of a better game than a lot of people are going to see, especially here in the area, whether it's SEC, ACC country, don't get a lot of Arizona State because they play, you know, usually kicking off like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. So I think a lot of people are going to look at that and go, oh, Texas should win that one pretty easily. And even Vegas has them favored by 13.5. But I'm going to caution people on this one. Arizona State can score a lot of points, and Texas struggles in the red zone. So watch out for that game.
I see that being a close game.
Yeah.
That's a good matchup. Fortunately for Arizona State, it's a home game. But like you say, Tennessee's capable of scoring points. They just get off to a slow start occasionally. And they do struggle in the red zone.
Yep.
They tend to self-inflict penalties.
Yeah, the SEC championship game is a great example of that. Yeah.
Yep. So that they need to that part of the game they need to leave behind. They don't need to put that on the bus with them. They need to go out there and bring their A game. Arizona State's going to be ready to play, especially with it being at home. The Ohio State, Oregon, I mean, they've already played each other. I just don't see anybody beating Oregon.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's just hard. It's hard for me as a football fan to watch them play. They are a complete football team. They are well coached. They play hard on both sides of the ball. They have great special teams, and they literally just wear you out. They have team speed. That's the big thing. They may not out-physical you, but they are going to blow right by you with their speed.
And they've done things that a number one team in the country, a national championship team, should do, whether it's blowing past the teams that should not even be close and just taking care of that early, or even in a game against earlier in the year against Boise State where they're struggling, Boise State staying in that game, they find ways to still win. And that's something that Oregon has done consistently through the year, more so than anybody else. That's why they're the only undefeated team left. I tend to agree with you. I think, and not a lot of people are talking about Oregon. We want to talk about the Texas. We want to talk about Georgia, Notre Dame, and Ohio State, and Penn State, and Ashton Jeanty at Boise State. Not a lot of people talking about Oregon. I think Oregon's fine with that. It's like, let's just fly under the radar. We'll play our brand of football, and we'll go win a championship.
I'm sure they relish that. It gives the opponent nothing to talk about because you didn't give them anything to talk about. Everybody's just kind of overlooking them. And it may be because of their product of the West Coast. Like you say, they play games much later than everybody else in the country plays. So not too many people have watched them play or know that much about them. But the games that you when you do watch, especially their highlights, it's speed. They have so much speed.
And it's just it's funny how with Oregon, that's stayed consistent with them. Even as new head coaches have come in, they go from Chip Kelly to even Willie Taggart when he was there at Oregon for what the one season he was there. And now with Dan Lanning, that speed just remains. And there were a lot of people that said that speed can't work in the Big Ten. It's a 3 yards and a cloud of dust conference. You can't be a fast, quick football team. Year one, they win the Big Ten championship. I think it's working pretty well for them so far.
Well, look all the way back to the national title game with Auburn.
That's 2010. Right. Yeah.
It was their speed against Auburn's high-powered offense. And, you know, we had arguably the number one defensive player in the country. And everybody thought that game was going to be a shootout, point wise. What was it, 22-19?
I think so. Yeah,
yeah.
22-21, 19.
Auburn kicked a field goal to win it, 22-19. Obviously, it stayed way underneath the over/under. But it was team speed that got them there. They had fast players then, and that Chip Kelly, I think, brought that type of offense to that program.
He did, yeah.
And it has stayed there. That's been their bread and butter ever since, regardless of who their head coach is. It's recruit the speedsters, bring in some physical, especially at the line of scrimmage, in the trench, bring in the physical guys, and bring the speed around on the periphery, especially in the defensive backs and the receivers. And they've stuck to that, and it's been productive for them, and obviously they're challenging for their conference title pretty much every year, and they challenge for the national title about once every 3 or 4 years.
And it's funny you bring up Chip Kelly, because Chip Kelly, he installed that at Oregon and really was kind of the guy that brought that speed to the Ducks. Chip Kelly, now the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, and we're kind of starting to see him more leaning Ohio State towards that side as well, especially bringing in guys like Jeremiah Williams. That is definitely going to start to kind of turn that Ohio State offense more towards that speed. So who knows? We may see the Big Ten turn into a high-powered offensive conference that's scoring a lot of points, because I think especially if USC can get things going, that's kind of the way they like to play as well. These Big Ten schools, we talked about how USC and Oregon may have to adjust to fit the Big Ten. Big Ten might have to adjust to fit those schools.
Absolutely. Ohio State being a perfect example of that. It's not a Woody Hayes type football program anymore. It's not the as big a kids as you can get and just smash, like you say, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. That's everybody's moving towards speed. Everybody's growing these kids the same size. So I mean, you can recruit 300-pound offensive linemen, but can you recruit one that's got some speed and physical attributes?
Yeah.
Can he move his feet quickly? That's the difference. That's what's changing the game. Everybody's kind of doing it. The SEC's been doing it for a while. Obviously, Oregon's been doing it for quite a while. Notre Dame, that's been their success, is the ability to get speedsters out there to catch the ball. Their passing game is really what's gotten them to where they are. We're going to find out exactly what Notre Dame's got this coming up game, though.
That's exactly what I was about to ask, because I know obviously with Notre Dame advancing on, they're going to be taking on the Georgia Bulldogs, the number two seed in the tournament. But Georgia going to be without Carson Beck, so they're going to have to go with Gunnar Stockton, who played the second half of the SEC championship game, did a good job. I mean, he really just kind of, and I know some people take it as a derogatory term. I never mean it as a derogatory term. He was a good job of being a game manager. He did exactly what he was asked to, put his team in a good situation to help them win the game. I fully expect him to actually have a bigger role in this game against Notre Dame on New Year's Day, especially now hearing Kirby Smart say even when they game plan, they have a specific plan in place just in case Gunnar has to go into the game because of whatever might happen with Carson Beck. Now we kind of see that a little bit more. I'm very curious to see he's going in QB1. Is there a chance that Georgia, with a new quarterback, can come into this game and beat a Notre Dame team that seems to be playing really good football at the right time?
Yeah, Notre Dame has peaked at the right time. They peaked late. Obviously, their first game was an unusual loss, being to an out-of-conference, unranked opponent. And they've never looked back. They put that behind them, went back to what they knew and could do, and did it well. got them to where they are now. The Georgia quarterback situation, I hate to say it right now. It's, you know, the guy, the number two guy, it's this is the game where you're either going to be the chump or the champion.
Right, yeah.
And it is going to be largely on his shoulders because their program rested largely on Carson Beck's shoulders, especially offensively. They have a great defense. The big plus is it's going to be at Georgia. So between the hedges, it's going to be a raucous crowd. I've been to that stadium many times for an Auburn Georgia game, and I can tell you it's loud. It can be very uncomfortable for somebody that's not a Georgia fan.
Okay.
So that game, I'm not sure how much of a downgrade it is going from Carson Beck to their number two, because I don't know that much about the number two guy other than what he did, like you say, in the championship game. I'm assuming they probably simplified the scheme just a little bit because he wasn't he doesn't have that much practice and playing time,
right,
with the
yeah.
ones. So they kind of have to simplify it a little bit. And that may actually work in Georgia's favor. They don't have to think so hard. They can just get out there and play. Bring their A game, get out there and play, make Notre Dame uncomfortable, and it's a gettable game for Georgia. It's also a gettable game for Notre Dame.
It is definitely going to be a lot of fun. I tell you what, we'll make picks because obviously these games will happen before the next War Eagle Weekly. So we'll make picks, but we're up against their final timeout. So we'll take that timeout. When we come back, we'll make our picks for these these quarterfinals in the college football playoff coming up right after this.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Great game. You got into the end zone again and again. How'd it feel?
Awesome. Like getting a new iPhone again and again. I just got the new iPhone 16 Pro today.
Really?
Yeah. And with AT&T Next Up Anytime, I can upgrade early every year.
Very nice.
Feel like an MVP again. Learn how to get the new iPhone 16 Pro on us and the latest iPhone every year with AT&T Next Up Anytime. AT&T. Connecting changes everything. Offer subject to change. Additional fees, terms, and restrictions apply. $0 offer may not be available on future iPhones. Next Up Anytime feature may be discontinued at any time. See att.com/iPhone for details.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard, 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. And don't forget to tell them, Dave Ramsey said, hey.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, SkillBridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Greeny, weekdays at 10, right after The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass on ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's War Eagle. Eagle Weekly. Welcome back into the show right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. I am Jordan Glass, joined alongside me, as always, for War Eagle Weekly. Well, not as always. Obviously, this is usually Austin Price sitting here. He's a little under the weather. We do wish him quick recovery. Just hope he starts feeling better for sure. But again, we are having some fun here talking a little Auburn football, a little Auburn basketball. Now we're kind of talking some college football playoffs. Getting into this now, making our picks for the game. And obviously, you can hear these picks. You know, I'll remake these picks next week on the glass half full as far as mine. But obviously, these games are going to be played before next week's War Eagle Weekly. So want to go ahead and get your picks now. We'll start Notre Dame, Georgia. That's the game we left off on. This game, actually, so we neither one of us actually realized it. So these are actually going to be bowl games for the quarterfinals for these matchups. So it'll actually be Notre Dame and Georgia in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl. It's a 2-point favorite for Georgia in this game. How do you see this one playing out?
I like the SEC. Even with the Carson Beck thing going on, I still like Georgia in this game.
Okay. I got
one score.
Yeah, one score? Okay. I'm actually going to go Notre Dame in this game. I think that, that they're playing, like I said, they're playing really good football at the right time. They've won 11 in a row, including that game against Indiana in the opening round. Not having Carson Beck in there is going to be an issue for Georgia. I think it's going to cause them some communication issues. It's going to be a big game. Obviously, he's played in the SEC championship game, but they already kind of had the lead in that game, so it was just kind of protect the lead and keep us in a good situation. This, he's got to play a full game and go up against a Notre Dame defense that's playing pretty good football right now. I'm going to go with the Irish in this one. How about with the Fiesta Bowl? Penn State taking on Boise State. Can Ashton Jeanty get it done against a pretty good Penn State team?
I like the way Penn State has played of late. They're a solid football team. They're well-coached, very physical. Don't know that much about Boise State because, you know, obviously where they come from, their games are, you know, starting at 10 o'clock our time, so we don't,
right.
we don't get to sit up and watch them. They obviously have a great program. They won their conference. They essentially are the home team in the Fiesta Bowl, but I like Penn State.
I agree with you on that one. I think Penn State, look, for Boise State, if you stop Ashton Jeanty, you stop the Broncos, and we've seen that before throughout the season where Boise State still found a way to win games, but it's been a lot closer because the team that they were playing limited Ashton Jeanty. I think Penn State's defense is going to do a good job in that front seven of shutting down that run game. They're going to force Boise State to have to throw the football, and we saw last week against SMU the opportunistic nature of that secondary for Penn State. I'm going to go with Nittany Lions in this one. Plus, I love the way Penn State's playing defense right now. They've got plenty of guys out there on scholarship, but some of the guys that are walk-ons, that's old-school Rudy-style Big Ten, and I'm here for it. How about another Big Ten matchup, both teams from the Big Ten in this one, Ohio State and Oregon in the Rose Bowl?
They've both been to the Rose Bowl many times. They've obviously played each other already once this year. I like Oregon. I said it earlier. I just don't see anybody beating Oregon.
I like Oregon in this one as well. I think there was a mirror of reasons that the game against Tennessee went the way it did for Ohio State. I think Ohio State was upset about the Michigan game. They were upset about what happened after the Michigan game. They heard the narrative of maybe Ohio State isn't as good as we thought. Tennessee talking about Neyland North and all that stuff. There was a little bit of bulletin board material for Ohio State heading into this game. I think they just played really well to prove a point in this one. They've gone up against Oregon once already. I like the Ducks in this one as well. I'm with you on that. Texas, Arizona State in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Texas favored by almost 2 touchdowns in this one by Vegas.
I don't like the line, 13.5. I do think Texas is going to win this game, but it's going to be a single score game. It'll be at the most, but somewhere between 3 and 6 points, like 27-21.
Yeah, I'm with you on the line. I don't like the 13.5 point line either. I think it should be a lot closer than it actually is, especially when you look at some of the other games, Ohio State, Oregon, Notre Dame, Georgia, all around the 2-point mark. I don't think it should be that close, but it definitely should be more than 13.5. I'm going Arizona State in this one, though. I think that offense for them, Texas has struggles in the red zone. I think the Sun Devils actually surprised some people, and they make it into the semifinals. So we'll see how it plays out. And obviously, you and Austin will be back to talk about it more on next week's War Eagle Weekly. Bill, it's been fun, man. I appreciate you having me in, filling in for Austin. Hey, guys, Greeny coming up. Rich Eisen. I'm used to saying Greeny. It's Rich Eisen coming up next.